Praise God. Well, this morning we're going to go back into teaching on the subject of dealing with knowledge that overcomes. And this is really, it's a knowledge. What I'm teaching really is on Wednesday night, really sort of these intertwine with each other, the things that we're teaching. It is really important. People need to get, is one of the things you need to get right knowledge. One of the things I've found over the years, especially with the church, you get many people, and people in this world, they need help. And basically, our society runs like this. If you need help, we're going to be real nice people and want to do something for you. But, and for the rest of their life, you'll be doing something for them. You've got to be able to change what people think. They got to change the knowledge they have. They got to take on knowledge. And if you don't do that, nothing ever changes. I've watched this over the years, God being so gracious. I've seen people, go to meetings where maybe a major healing evangelist or something was there, and they go to the meetings and they get healed, but they can never get healed after that. And it's because, God is gracious and merciful, but people need to change their knowledge. You can't go every time to, and you shouldn't have to go every time to a healing evangelist. In fact, Kenneth Hagin taught it, and it was what the Lord told him about it. He said Christians aren't supposed to be getting healed by gifts of the Spirit. He said Christians are supposed to, to walk really from the standpoint of health in the areas of because of the communion table that Jesus took our infirmities. He bore our sicknesses. That's what he did. And we should walk in the light of that. And it's the things of walking in the areas of health. It should be something natural to us. But people aren't taught the knowledge of it. So if you don't have knowledge of it, you can't do it. I want to this morning look at this because the Lord spoke to me something about, we had taught before from Proverbs, the first chapter. And I want to read to you this because we want to talk about the voice about what we're saying and what we're speaking at concerning knowledge and dealing with wisdom. And we found out you have knowledge, but you need wisdom to apply that knowledge. And here's what about with wisdom in Proverbs, the first chapter, verse 20 and 21. Listen to what it says about wisdom. Wisdom calls aloud outside. She raises her voice in the open squares. She cries out in the chief concourses. At the opening of the gates in the city, she speaks her words. So I want you to get this. Wisdom has a voice. If you have wisdom, your wisdom does you no good if it isn't on your voice. See, wisdom is about things you say. You need to learn about this, about yourself and dealing with yourself concerning wisdom. You need to learn. Many people will never overcome because they even don't speak the right words about themselves. They don't speak wisdom concerning themselves. They're concerning ability. People we have, if you follow, there's things of dealing in the areas of psychology and the mind that are good or practical about your mind and thinking. But there's a lot of really bad psychology. Is number one, getting groups of people together talking about their problems is a terrible, horrible, horrible thing. See, people sometimes feel, they feel relieved that I feel better because I got to sit down and tell people, somebody, what my trouble is. Well, but if you're going there every week and doing that, you're crazy. And you're going to stay bound in things. It's like anything. You want to find wisdom. You want to walk in wisdom of things. And so we need to understand this. Wisdom, in a search, you and I should be in a search for answers to problems and not talking. Nobody comes up with solutions talking about the problem.
That's right.
You don't come up with solutions. Say, here's what a problem is. What can we do to overcome this thing? Well, it's one of the things you need in your own personal life. Wisdom, the wisdom that you gain, you need to get it on your voice. Most of us do not say enough of the right stuff. Most people, especially in the areas of healing. See, I remind myself every time I sit down and eat, I declare that my God, and I say it every time, that He's the one. My God's one. He blesses my bread and water and He takes sickness from me. See, that's wisdom. I say it every time I eat.
Amen.
I speak that wisdom. all the time. I say that wisdom. Amen. And man, it has sure helped me in all the average spirit-filled, tongue-talking Christian only speaks healing stuff when something happens physically to them. That's the only time you start. They don't ever practice wisdom. Wisdom's always calling out on the streets. Yes. It's always doing something. Wisdom always voiced. Wisdom has something to say. And you better have something to say, because there's things around you all the time that are the opposite of wisdom. And we've sure learned how to confess them. And we sure, you know, our media systems sure know how to confess. Everything's geared toward the who did what wrong and whatever else. And those things. We're hearing those things and you're bombarded. We need to be the people of wisdom. Saying the right things. Speaking the right things. It's number one, those things that you continually speak, you put into your heart. We're going to eventually, we'll talk, you know, in things about the parable of the sower. With sower, sowing the word. It's getting things into your heart. Your heart is more open to your voice than it is anybody's. I'm going to tell you, I don't care how good I preach, you'll listen to you more than you do me. That's just the way it is. You to you, you think you're important. Well, you should, from the standpoint, you should. But your voice, number one, you know, I can turn your voice off, but you can't turn your own voice. You hear it, and things getting things into your heart. We're sowing stuff into our hearts. Charles Capps made this statement. He said, "The spirit of man is designed to produce or bring to you the very thing that you speak out of your mouth. It is designed to bring into manifestation the things you desire. It is the soil of the kingdom within you." Let me read that again. The spirit of man is designed to produce or bring to you the very things you speak out of your mouth. It is designed to bring into manifestation the things you desire. It is the soil of the kingdom within you. You need to understand that. Faith is not just saying words. You can speak Bible words and go under. It's what's out of your heart. If you haven't put those words and they're not into your heart, then they will not produce. What produces out of the kingdom of God are the words that you have put in you, that is in your heart. This is your way of your inner thinking, and you say those words. See, that's why we look over with Mark 11:23. It says, Mark 11:23, "For assuredly I say to you, whosoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things which he says," what? "From his heart, will be done. He will have whatever he says." One of the things that many Christians do, and let me just say this to you, that really, they say they're making confessions of faith, but they're not. They don't really believe it in their heart yet. You know, there's things that I make confession of that I'm trying to get into. I'm doing planning and watering in my heart to get them in there. The day I make a confession, this is why people do this all the time. I remember the faith things and stuff coming off, and I heard a big international minister said one time that after I confessed such and such, and he even had a number like 400 and sometimes, then it came to pass. Well, you can say it 5,800 times. It don't matter. I can say something out of my heart one time and bring it to pass. Amen. You know, Jesus told Kenneth Hagin concerning declaring money. He said to him, you declare what you have, send your angels out. And he said, every time you think of it, he didn't say go confess and that stuff. He said, just say, it's working. He didn't say you have to go back and confess it 837 times. See, if you get in and listen, you know, a lot of that teaching, this is what people, I had a good friend that had to do his funeral. And I could not get him off of that thing. His confessing led him further away. You know, you got to get to the believing thing, man. You believe it, it's working. Glory to God, it's a working. See, he kept thinking if he says it enough, it'll eventually happen. He listened to too many preachers. See, you got to get yourself. Is there many times you confess it? Hallelujah. You know, we should have a normal lifestyle of talking. My confession, I don't do it to try to get God to do anything. It's for me, to keep me in line. It's not to get something done. It's to keep me in line. I'm not trying to get God to do. When I said it, God went to work on it. What I'm doing is keeping myself over in the area where I stay in line. Because why? It's a working. It's a working. It's a happening. Hallelujah. You know, when I pray over meals, when I make a confession, that's mostly for me. God's already working. It's for me to hold me in my place. This is the way I'm going to continually think. Hallelujah. I'm thinking health. Hallelujah. That's what I'm thinking. You know, when stuff comes along and, you know, when COVID came along and people are wringing their hands and everybody's doing all their things and going through their stuff, to me, it was just another day. Just another day. That's all it is. Just another day. This is it. Hallelujah. It's another day. It's like Brother Hagin used to teach us. It's another day to prove the Word of God works. Hallelujah. That's all we're doing. We're not, these things are coming. Hallelujah. Sure. I mean, in the world, all this stuff is going on, but God already has a plan for you and I. It's important about us what we get put into our hearts, what we get in us. Many times people, we need to understand this is dealing with that stuff of putting things into our heart. I like something. In Matthew says this, Matthew 12 and 34 and 35, Jesus talking to the Pharisees said, "Brood of vipers, how can you being evil speak good things?" He said, "For out of the abundance of the heart, which is your spirit," he said, "the mouth speaks." He said, "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things." And there are Charles Caps gave a thing. He said, you know, what's in your heart, your treasure, or he says it's your deposit, what you deposit into your heart. I don't want you to think about that. What are you depositing into your heart? You know, what do we do? What is say, you know, the things that are valuable to us in words, we should be putting them into our heart. You know, do you put your money in the bank? Why? Because it's security. You know, people have safe deposited boxes. They put things in their things they want to keep safe. People may have a safe in their home. We do things, what we deposit. You know, we have people running around looking for buried treasure. Pirates went out and the things they didn't have a bank to go to, but they went and buried their stuff somewhere for others not to be able to get to it. Some of them really did it well. People can't find out where it's at. But anyhow, it's a deposit, and you need to understand this is what we were doing. What are you depositing into your heart? Your heart is going to produce good or bad, what you put in. These guys had bad coming out because that was their treasure. I heard a minister just say this thing. He said, talking about the values that Christians have today, the church world, and he said the church world, a lot of them, he said they run on the gold standard. They don't run on the God standard anymore. They run on the gold standard. See, they set what is treasure. What is treasure to you? See, people do that. I mean, we have all this stuff today and that stuff all about, you know, you need to have $1 million to retire good, or you need all these. And people work like crazy for that. If people put as much emphasis in on God and that, they wouldn't have to worry about none of that. But they do because they put their effort in. You know, I want to have enough gold to last, but I ain't going to have God to last. Yeah. And we need to understand this. What are we planting in us? What are we putting in us? And understand this. We're dealing with God. I want to talk about something in the Bible. We're going to go over to Numbers 13 today. We're going to talk about this. The children of Israel. The Bible says these things were written for our learning. God gives knowledge. That's what He does. We read, study the Word. I preach to give knowledge to people. There's things that I can impart wisdom on how to do things. I can make things on how to do it and things. But we depart knowledge. Faith comes from knowledge. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. You must gain knowledge to have faith. In life, whether it's trusting God or whatever you trust, you have acquired knowledge that you took to yourself as being whatever you wanted, that was a good knowledge, and that's what you're going to follow or do. That's what you're going to do. We need to understand this. The children of Israel, starting back with Abraham, God told him concerning his descendants. He told him when he died, you know, he was going to die. He died at an old age, blessed, you know. But he said his offspring, what was going to happen to his offspring was coming. He told him, he said, they were going to be taken down to a foreign land, and they were going to live there, and they were going to end up being slaves. They're going to be there for 400 years, but they were going to come out. They're going to come out and get this land that he promised. Abraham was promised a land he never owned or never got. And he walked better than the people who got it. That's today. Loads of people. They ain't got near in their life what the people who didn't have it, who believe in God, for. But anyhow, what they did, now they had this story, and they knew this story. This was told to them. They're down there. Now listen, that story was told to Isaac. Isaac passed it on to Jacob. You know, when they went down to Egypt, they could see the fulfillment of God's word. This is God said was going to happen. They're going to be there for 400 years. I think it was an estimate. I think it was like 435 years when they finally came out. And I believe some of that had to do with them. I think it came out because we know this. God raised up Moses, but they ran him off. You know, sometimes those things happen. God has a plan. But people, you know, don't get it near as quick as they were supposed to. There's many people don't get healing and don't get money near as quick as they're supposed to. Because they fall short on the knowledge of God that He gave. And they don't know when God's delivering. So we want to walk in on. But anyhow, so they come out of this land. God brings them out. Now, they were a very cheerful bunch. You know, God sends out, they didn't like Moses much when he was doing the miracles. Because, you know, they would even complain about them. They would complain about, well, you know, he comes and does these things and now they're treating us worse. You know? But God delivers them. God gets them out. Now, understand, and we're going to talk about, because they come to the place that they arrive at the land. Now, it took them 11 months to get from Egypt to the land. It's 11 months. This is the first trip they arrived at. 11 months. You can walk in 11 days, a casual walk. You could walk from Egypt to there in 11 days. One of the reasons it took them. Now, they had they went to the Mount Sinai, but that wasn't it. It was judgments along the way that delayed them and delayed them and delayed them in that time period. There were judgments. Delayed them. They could have went there quicker. But what happens when they arrive at the land? Now, God has told them they have knowledge. They got knowledge. They can't say, we got there, we didn't know. They had knowledge about the land. God told them that He gave them that land. It belonged to them. It was theirs. He never said He was going to give them that land. God gave the land to Abraham. It was already their land when they were in Egypt. You know, before you got saved, healing already belonged to you.
That's right.
Jesus took the infirmities of everybody in the entire world system, and from, you know, back then the whole way up through today, everybody. Jesus, you know, people are talking about, well, you know, when God healed me, actually I was healed 2,000 years ago. I just found it out. Nobody told me when I was young that we were healed. Nobody ever told us that. We were told us this is something we're trying to get. No, we're not. Something we have that was given by God to the church. See, I want you to change. If you don't change this knowledge, if you don't take a hold of this knowledge, you will never enter into certain things you can't enter into, because you'll keep trying to get them. And you'll touch it every once in a while and it'll be nice, but you won't maintain it. You want to maintain in your thinking of this. This is what God gave us. God's already blessed you with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. It's already He done it. He's already done it. It's already yours. It belongs to you. What you want to find out is what the blessing is, and then the wisdom to walk in it. That's what you want to arrive at. That's what you want to. But it is already your property, belonged to you, given to you by God. You know, as a kid, they used to think these things, they used to call about Indian givers. Actually, that was the white man. But the whole thing of it was somebody that would take something back. Well, God don't take back. The gifts and calling with God are out repentance. You know, God calls you to something and you never do it. When you stand before the judgment seat of Christ, He's going to deal with you as if you knew you were supposed to do it. He called you, whether you do it or not, you're going to stand judgment for it. You don't get to pick and choose on this. You can't hear on this earth, but you get there. He says, sorry, we know. That's the way it is. But God has established His plan. So the children of Israel, they arrived at this place. They know. God has told them. He said, this is a good land. It's a land. He told them, this is a land flowing with milk and honey. It's yours. It belongs to you. And God told them about going into this land. That these people here. Well, what happens is we find out they sent spies into the land. So the spies went into the land. They went into the land to check it out. And, you know, they go through it. And it is amazing because we're going to read about what these spies, because we need to understand this. We're going to understand if these things were written for our learning to learn, we can make the same mistakes or there's no learning for us. You make the same mistakes. You need to understand. One thing is I learned about, you know, God, we like everything right up front and taken care of up front to do anything. And this is why a lot of people never enter in any kind of deep faith. You know, it's just like when the Lord said I was supposed to go to Ramah to go to school, you know, I'd have quit my job, had a family. I didn't have a job on the other side. You're leaving everything you got. You don't have a job. You don't have to go. When we left, we didn't have money to pay for school. We didn't have none of that kind of stuff. We had nothing. We didn't have anything. So, you know, God didn't turn around and make me rich so I could go. Right. When I went, He made me rich. Amen. But He didn't make me rich till I went. Amen. He didn't make me rich till I quit my job. Amen. See, this is why people, even in the areas of healing, people don't get it. They'll never believe they received their healing. They're always waiting to feel better. Then they're gonna just believe it. No, that's not the way it works. You're always going to be out there without it. That's just the way it works. Faith is always this place. I see it in the spirit, but it ain't nowhere in the natural. I can't find it any place. I see wealth in the spirit, but my pockets got holes in them. You know, this is what we're doing. And basically, everybody likes a seeing and a feeling Christianity, a seeing and feeling faith. That's not how it works. Now, I want you to understand, God says, I give you this land. Now, He's going to show them how good, they're supposed to go into this to see how good the land is. That isn't what they end up doing. They have been told, this belongs to you. But they're going to come out and say, yeah, but somebody else is living in my house. So I ain't going in there. If you went home today and somebody else moved into your house, would you go wimp and walk away? Nope. See, my words, hurry up and call the police and an ambulance. Because they're going to carry their dead bodies out of here. Now, that's from a natural standpoint you can see. But they walk into here, and it doesn't look like it's there. See, they're the faith people that, well, when I walk over there and ain't nobody, then I know it's good land, I can have this, I can take this. It don't faith take any faith to take something that there's no resistance to. Don't require any faith. I'm going to tell you what, you ain't ever going to get into any faith in your life. There's going to be resistance. Or you ain't ever went to faith. Every time God puts you into something, there's always resistance. Now, these are these folks after they come out. In Numbers 13, verse 26 says, now they departed and came to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them of all the congregation of Israel and showed them the fruit of the land. Then they told him and said, we went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. In other words, yep, hey, God was right. This is a milk and honey land. I want you to understand this. Israel is a nation. When Israel first went into the land of Israel wasn't like it is today. When the Jews came back down from Europe and came in and settled there, it was nothing but desert. It wasn't no land of milk and honey. The Arabs lived there, had two nickels in their pocket and no place to spend those. They were out in the middle of nowhere doing nothing. This land wasn't at all. But when Israel went into it, this was a garden. Not like Israel came back in the nation. Israel worked to bring the land back where it is today. They worked. They didn't work back then to bring that land into place. It was. Well, these guys get in here and they went in and said, yep, hey, the fruit of the land, this is great. Then they told him and said, we went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit, nevertheless. Okay, but that's when they should have kicked them all in the butt. But they didn't. They should have took that crew out and hung them right away. Literally hung them right away. Because what they're going to do is going to set in motion for the devil to destroy a people. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites, and all the rest of the sites dwell in the mountains. And in the Canaanites dwell in the sea and among the banks of the Jordan. Now, what do they do? They go in there. They say these people, they're strong. How do you know? Nope. They went in there. They laid knowledge aside. And they made their own decisions now. This is what the way it is. They have large cities. Think about this. When God brings their descendants back, these guys never come back. They all die. Every one of them. In fact, within the day, that night, the 10 spies who gave the bad report died that night. If you read the story. Why? Because they were ones picked. These guys are leaders. And this is what they did. You know, this is how you get rid of leaders. God raises them and takes them down. But anyhow, they come back to the land there. These guys come along with this report saying all these things. In other words, they set the knowledge of God aside. Now, we're going to talk about here because it goes on then Caleb. Caleb was one of the spies that went in with them. So Caleb, now, here he is. He was one of the spies. So then Caleb quieted the people. Why? They got them all around. See, we can't do this. God brought us here. We can't do this thing. No way. Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we're well able to overcome it. What's the difference? The Bible does tell us about Caleb. Caleb had a different spirit. What made the difference of what he put in his spirit and what they had been putting in their spirits? We're going to find this out. Well, we won't go read the whole thing. But God brought judgment on them, and he said this. You rebelled against me 10 times. 10 times coming across. When they left, in 11 months' time, they had rebelled against God 10 times. This is the 10th time. They had done it 9 times, and this is number 10. Now, you know, baseball, they give you 3 strikes and you're out. God's very merciful, isn't he? God's kingdom's more serious than baseball. And he still gave them 10 strikes. You know, I'd have quit at 4. That'd have been it. You know, 1 extra, that's it. You're done. God, very merciful. But you know what? They ran out of mercy. You can come to the place where you run out of God. You've ran to the end of God's mercy. God's merciful. But for your own good, he's going to have to judge it. Number one, he wants to bring these people in the land. These people, he can't. You need to, this is why spiritual development is so important. We, and when you got born again, we entered a land. We're in a land. We're in the kingdom of God. And one of the things that is bad about this, God can't bring many people in really into the land. They get born again, but he can never really take them into the land. You can't go any further than what's in your spirit. You can't go any further. We need to understand this. What you put in you determines how far you go to this land, whether you can do. You might have crossed the Jordan, but there you are standing on the other side of Jordan. Many Christians, this is what they're doing. They ain't even crossed the Jordan. They're looking across the Jordan. Isn't that wonderful? When we get to heaven, that's their Christian life. Someday, no, how about the sweet here and now? You know, and this is what they do. It's number one, God's desire is to take them into the land. But they will not allow him to take them into the land. He can't take this group in the land. Number one, you need to understand this. This is a picture of faith. God requires faith of you. They had none. See, many people want the good of the land. But I don't want to have to stand and go through anything. I don't want to have to do this. I don't want to give up what I like or what I want. And I just, you know, and I don't want to give up my time, you know. I want to get into this land. Now, Caleb's a different guy. Caleb sees the land and hey, we can go take these dudes. This is no problem. This is good. But he says, Caleb says this. Caleb stands up. Here's one. You know, we have Joshua and Caleb. I want you to think about this. Out of all the men that were alive at that time from 20 years and up, only two men went in. I'm just going to tell you this. Hell's going to be a whole lot fuller than heaven. Amen. I will guarantee you, as sure as we are here today. You might say, well, I don't want to believe that. Well, don't worry. You don't have to. You'll get to see it. Hell is going to be a little full. Hell is going to be full. Why? Number one, this life requires faith. It requires a responding to God by faith. That's what it is. These people, I mean, you want to think about it. You get all these people, all of these ones. Only two of that generation get to go. Two men from 20 years and up are the only ones who are allowed to eventually get into that land. All of those that came out of Egypt are going to die in the wilderness. All because of this, faith. People say, why do you teach faith so much? Yeah, he says, why I teach faith a lot. Trying to keep you alive. Faith needs to be a big emphasis of people. This is what, they're in unbelief of what God had told them. Two men out of the bunch. Two men. And what's terrible about it, Moses didn't get to go in because they gave him such a hard time. He disobeyed God, just mad at them. So he don't get to go in. Because of them scoundrels. These people are scoundrels. God has to remove them off the face of the earth. Why? Because he wants to get people in the land. He requires faith. Without faith, you can't please him.
Amen. Preach.
Now, look, God did all of those miracles for them while they were faithless. Not, they didn't believe for one miracle they saw happen. Sit down and read. They never believed for one of them. God's trying. This is why. Faith don't come by seeing miracles. Faith is a substance of the things hoped for, the evidence of what's not seen. You see a miracle, that's a scene. Right. That isn't where faith comes from. Faith is believing what God's Word says, whether you see it or not. God had given them His knowledge. Caleb and Joshua, just they believed the knowledge of God. Two guys. Out of 12, two. Two believed it out of the 12. And they're the only two that get to go into the land. Now see, we want to see this. This is why there's a great urgency today about faith. I believe in the mercy and kindness of God, and I believe, and many Christians have run it to the end. I want people to awake to this fact. You know, we just can't keep living off of, well, we're just getting by because he's so nice and I'm so stupid. We aren't supposed to stay in this place. We're supposed to arise to something better. We're supposed to arise to something higher. And especially the area of faith of trusting him. See, what he says is true. Well, then let's act like it's true. Let's walk in the light of it. It's true. Let's do that. You know, we look in there and God said it belongs to us. Hey, it belongs to me. If I don't take it, we don't start. All you need to learn to be this. It's my fault I don't have it. You'll never change till you start blaming you. You'll never change till you find out the things happen, it's your fault. You allow it to. We allow things to happen. I've allowed things to happen. My fault. Amen. Ain't somebody else's. You know? The government ain't at fault at all about my life. The government ain't at fault at all. Why? Because God taught me better. What was mine. What I could do. And I have to measure against what he told me to do and what I didn't do. And we need to understand this. These people were told this truth. And it's amazing because people talk, you know, they say anywhere from like this, there could have been 600,000 to, I don't forget, like, you know, a couple million people. There could have been. How many? Can you imagine how many men there would have been from the age of 20 years old on up? So this is one thing. They're going to leave. The guys that are 20 years old, they're never going to live past 60 years old. They'll die before they're 60. They're going to win the land. They're going to die. Whew. Ain't you glad today? Aren't you? So you better be happy about grace. Amen. You ought to be. People ought to be real happy about the grace thing. Because if we ran off the law on the things today, there wouldn't be near as many on the face of the earth. And churches would be much smaller. A lot of grace going on out here. Well, Caleb gave his voice, but in verse 31, the men who had gone up with him said, "We're not able to go up against these people, for they're stronger than we are." He said, "We can take them." Well, we can't. But there's one thing. They learned suffering. They learned suffering. I would rather learn suffering going after the will of God than learn suffering running away from the will of God. Because there is no blessing going away from it. Now, it says they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, "The land through which we had gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are a men of great stature." Now, it says they gave a bad report. King James says an evil report. The word there means in the Greek, can mean evil. It could mean bad, but it also means defaming. A defaming report, an evil report, infamy, slander. They slandered God. God said, "You can take it." And they slandered him, said, "They can't. We can't do that." See, how did Caleb get where he was? And how did they get where they are at? How did they do it? The principle, the parable of the sower never changes. It has never changed. It is a principle of the kingdom. It's how it works. Why? Caleb was a guy who spoke right. See, Caleb's going to a land. I'll guarantee you Caleb would talk about, "Well, we get to the land. We get over that place." Hey, Abraham, God gave it to him. Remember where her Jacob? Jacob said, yeah, his daddy told him. Yep. When we come out of Egypt, we're going over here to this land. God gave it to us. And we're going to go in and take it out. That belongs to it. God's with us on this thing. We're going in. I will guarantee you that's what he do. He's put seed in his heart. But, you know, I can tell you about them. They had not. See, they grumped all the way. No matter what God did for them, they grumped. You know, they saw all the miracles of Egypt. They had walked through the Red Sea. Got to the other side. 3 days they were looking for water, hadn't found any, and they're griping. They seen everything in the world that was impossible. But you know, God shrank to this high. Why? I will guarantee you, their mouths. They were their preachers. I don't care how much I preach here, you're your preacher. I've always said this, I'm my own best cheerleader. You're always going to be your own best cheerleader. Nobody else is going to be your best cheerleader. You got to be. Because you know what? People cheer you one day and stone you the next. You know, as soon as they see you don't do what they want, they get ugly. You got to be your own best cheer. I will guarantee it with these people. They became this way. They became this. This is what they were. See, they were over there in Egypt, and they became that there. Instead of dealing with God, they griped and moaned and complained. That's what they did. You know, you might work at a place you don't really care for. Knock off the griping and moaning and groaning all the time. Because you're putting things in your heart. You might not like what they do, but I'll tell you, speak good of yourself. They can do what they do. People can get, that's it. That's their thing. It's not mine.
Amen.
You got to watch. See, they developed something in Egypt, and they became highly developed in unbelief of God. They had super strong unbelief. Super strong. So you do the same thing with faith. You can be very super strong in the areas of faith. When they got over here, you know what? They had set themselves in a direction so far they could not change. Oh, we don't like to hear that today. People can set themselves where they can't change. They go so far they can't change. Don't do that to yourself. Don't do that to yourself. See, they got to this place. It ain't going to work for them. They're in huge trouble. They saw the inhabitants. They defamed God. They spoke against God and said, no, the people over there are bigger than God. You know, God just took down the greatest military in the world at that time, Egypt. And God can't lick these little flaky dudes over here. This is their thing. If these guys were that big, they could have whooped Egypt and took it. They didn't because they couldn't. See, faith is not by what you see. Isn't that proof?
Yeah.
Caleb, you know, when Caleb saw the miracles, he said, well, that just goes to show what God told Abraham. Yep, this land's ours. He's taking us over there. He'll whoop all these guys out of here and get us over there. That's what he's going to do because, wow, that's our land over there. We're going over there. Can't wait to get there to get my place. You know, Caleb had to wait till he's 85 years old could he get in there and get that land. The Lord told me this when I was a young Christian one time. About keeping yourself, walking in the areas of health, get your thinking right. He said, do you think Caleb retired? He said, was he sitting by his tent in a rocking chair and then one day, when he got to the land, he led an army. Listen to this. He went over to Joshua and said about, God said he was going to, I got this mountain, belong to me. You know what Joshua said? I'm up there. I'll send the boys up and take care of it. He said, no, you got to go up there and get it if you want it. So he got an army together and went up. He led the army, 85 years old, led the army. Amen. The Lord told me, see, he wasn't sitting in a rocking chair, sitting around there doing nothing. He said, if you do that, he said, the day you need to advance, you will be in no condition to do it. This is many Christians today. They're too lazy, lax, and everything else. And when the fight comes, just sit in the chair and be quiet. You ain't fighting nothing. And the Lord told me that when I was a young Christian. He told me that. He said, if you don't keep yourself going and you don't keep doing things, he said, when you want to do something, you won't be able to do it. Mm-hmm. See, there's a lot to this and what people think about. You know, you don't become a warrior sitting around somewhere not training. You don't lead the battle and run. Hey, they couldn't shoot at a distance. You got a sword and a rock and whatever else, and you chased up after the guy. You did, you know. It isn't the army of today. You know, we'll kill them at a distance. No, No, you had to go do it. It required your energy. He's 85 years old. And he led the army and took the land. And you know what? God kept that man because of his faith. He lived a long time in the land. Faith. His faith is what kept him alive. He got to finally go in it. But I want you to know this. There's many times people of faith suffer because of all the unbelief around them. All the unbelieving Christians. For 40 years, they couldn't go in, he couldn't go into the land. For 40 years, he suffered with those miserable people probably getting up in the morning saying, God, ain't you killed them all yet? I want to get over there. God, hurry up and get this thing done. I want to get over there. I'm tired of this desert walking around out here in this place. I'm tired of wilderness camp, you know? You know? My God, there were giants in the land, the descendants of Anak from the giants. And this, I love this. We were like grasshoppers in our own sight. And so we're in their sight. How did they said in our sight. See, they yeah. You know, I'm a grasshopper. How do you get to be that? I chose it. I'm stupid. I'm so full of unbelief. I just talk. I'll kill myself. Just let me go a little bit longer here. I'll kill myself. I'm stupid. The Bible in basic English says this about verse 32. We're dealing with them of their report. It says, and they gave the children of Israel a bad account of the land they had been in to see, saying, this land through which we went is a land causing destruction to those living in it. And all the people we saw there are men of more than common size. But you know, see, they said destruction in the land. If you read it back, what we read the other one of what the statement they made the report there, the land devours them. In other words, this land is so good, it'll kill you. You know, don't that sound like a church today? We can't have it that good. You know, we can't really have heaven and the earth. That's too good, it'll kill you. You know, you won't live right if you get real good. See, you need God to make you sick. You need plagues in the land. You need this stuff. This is the things you have to have. That land over there is so good, it'll kill us if we get in there. It's going to kill them. Do you remember such stupid talk? And this made sense to them. This kind of talk makes a lot of sense to people today. You know, this is definitely one of those things where ignorance done went to seed, didn't it? Hallelujah. I want to read you, because this is dealing with the areas of judgment, in chapter 14 and verse 29 says this. We're not going to read through all the other. God dealt with them about 10 times doing this. But he made this to start verse 29. Says, the carcass of you who have complained against me shall fall in the wilderness. All of you who were numbered according to your entire number, he said, from 20 years and older. Old and above. I mean, that to me, that's a phenomenal thing. You're looking at this judgment's pronounced. You're going to go out there. You're all going to die, not see the promise. He says that this, except for Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun, he said, you by no means enter the land which I swore I would make you dwell in. So there's the two out of here. Now, I want you to see this. Now, he says this, but your little children, little ones, whom you said would be victims, because, see, if you read the whole story, they said this. Why did you lead us out here to this land? Well, we want to go back to Egypt. You lead us out here and just kill us and our children. You know, this is their talk. You don't get this kind of talk unless you're highly developed in it. They're highly developed. This is what they put into their heart. Highly developed. See, I learned when I started off, I started getting highly developed in areas of healing and stuff. I learned, I began a way of talking and a way of doing things. And man, I'm going to tell you what, I really had to practice a lot at it. I had to really work a lot at it because, you know, things come along. You want to go back to old ways of thinking and habit. You got to change it. And you got to get it till you get into your heart where it becomes commonplace to you to talk certain ways. When you think about yourself and a problem arises, your response to that problem. And problems will arise. Most people, this way, things happen to people and people, all this stuff, they'll tell you all the bad things that happen, but they have no response to what is good or what am I doing? We have this, yes, you have this, this is there. We can see it and there, but our response to it. What's my response? It's what's out of your heart. It's what comes out of your heart. And see, that's where you got to get to, is what's in your heart. See, I have never been in a situation, never one time, where it meant life or death, whether it was me or somebody else, that God hasn't spoken to me. Never one time. Why? In my spirit. Well, why? Yes. It is just only common that Ed looks to the inside. That's common. That's, you know, when I had my heart attack, the first thing that I looked to was on the inside. And on the inside, there was somebody bigger living in there than in my flesh. And it wasn't a Holy Ghost. It was my own spirit. It was what I had planted in my spirit. It rose up. There was an anger rose up in me because of what was happening in my flesh. Now, see, if you can't get you to rise up on the inside, there ain't much for the Holy Ghost to do. He does exceedingly abundantly above what you imagine or think according to the power that's working in you. If you don't get much rise up, there ain't much rise working in you. He can only do exceedingly abundantly according to what power's in you. You get it in you and so in you when something arises, you're already set in a direction. Now the Holy Ghost, He got something to work with. He's your helper. He's not your doer. He can't help your non-doing. He can't help your non-power. See, He may, as a baby, He may do it for you. This is where many Christians, they have lived off of mercy. They lived off of the things of God doing for them because of their immaturity in their things. But then what happens? One day, they're going to have to stand up, and they can't. They can't stand. We don't want to live in that place. We don't want to go there. So God says this in 31, He says, but your little ones, whom you said would be victims, I will bring in, and they shall know the land which you have despised. But as for you, your carcasses shall fall in the wilderness. Now this is a sad thing about 33. And your sons shall be shepherds in the wilderness 40 years and bear the brunt of your infidelity until your carcasses are consumed in the wilderness. There's a good spiritual principle why things happen in families. Right here. Many times children, they bear the brunt of Christian parents that won't walk right. Christian parents who are menial Christians. Children pay a price. People need to understand this. Offspring, especially dealing here, you know, this is dealing with the men here. Why the men? Because the men are leaders, and it is today. We don't have in the body of Christ. In America, men aren't leaders because the church don't want them to be leaders. They have 50-50 marriages. I'm sorry. There's not two people that are heads. I always go with Ken Hagin. Anything with more than one head's a freak. But I'm going to tell you what. You need to understand this, men. You should be the most spiritual person in your family. You're the head. There's a requirement of spirituality. We don't have that. And don't have a lot of qualified leaders. See, we're trying to do today, and we need to understand this. God didn't kill all the women. He killed the men. They were the ones in charge. We need to understand this in the body of Christ. You know, we go over to Ephesians. We talk about the husband and how a man loves his wife. Number one, man, number one, Christ is his head. Amen. The head of the woman is her husband.
Amen.
It's not her head is Christ. Her head is her husband. And a husband's head is Christ. So the guy, who should be the spiritual leader of a home? Today in American church, most of the guys ain't very spiritual. They're not nearly spiritual. They're not. Heck, if the women didn't put the breeches on, ain't nobody'd have any. Many times, men are going, they only have good at life because of their wife. Like Brother Hagin said, wouldn't be for some people to ministers and their good wives, they'd ever have nothing. But it's some truth to it.
Amen.
Men want to do all kind of things. You know, being a man is number one. A man needs to have vision for his family.
Amen.
And his vision ain't just out providing food and doing stuff like that. It's number one, a spiritual vision. Mm-hmm. They ought to have that. The spiritual head. You know, one of the things that I'm just going to tell you, why people get Mother's Day, they turn around and Mama's the big thing. It's because Daddy was never a big thing. Daddy wasn't a leader. Wouldn't have been if Mama, the family wouldn't have survived. There's a lot of that. See, this is good preaching. I think about it. These are kids suffering. See, today we got a suffering generation, and it's because of daddies, and because the culture of America is devilish, evil, wicked. It's in the church up to here.
Amen. Preach.
And the kids are suffering. They're out shepherding sheep instead of living the life God called them to do. They're just trying to get by out here. They're trying to make it. We need to understand this. That can't be. I don't know why, but from the time I got born again, I realized, well, God taught me the responsibility of my family. That was the first thing He really dealt with me, the responsibility. I was in charge. And He wouldn't let me pass the buck and say, no, it's Wanda's fault. You see, we need to get over into this. And women, if you have a husband that wants to lead, you let him wear the pants. If you don't, you're in rebellion.
Amen.
It ain't your job to tell him what to do. One thing is I learned about for things of leaders, you know, lots of times you may see things, keep your blab mouth shut. Unless they ask you. It is your job to go around and tell somebody what they think you what they ought to do. Because now you just usurped authority. See, I learned that. God taught me that wisdom when I worked at Reese's. You know, you have people always complain. I was. Before I got saved, I was a complainer about the leaders all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I found out, yeah, they're the leaders, I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I was in a church for a while with a pastor. And he said his wife, her job was to turn his head wherever it was. In other words, and you know what? And she was a pain in the neck. And the whole thing of it was, see, that wasn't her job. His job was to be the leader. She just wouldn't let him be the leader for nothing. She did more things behind his back and doing stuff and things. And that stuff. And then they used to talk about having a good marriage. They didn't even know what a good marriage was. They had no clue. You know, it is, especially from a woman in spirituality, it's very hard. Because what happens is, if a man don't take his spot, the woman's raising all kids. That's what it is. A woman's raising all kids. She has to take care of the idiot who's older, and then those little ones are supposed to be taken care of. That's what happens. There's a responsibility in things in the family. And we've lost these things today. See, we see this, and I read this story. When I sit down and look at that and read and over that, I've read over that many times, but I just saw that. I thought, man, the kids, their children. I mean, here's this kid, 18 years old. He's going to have to live out there 40 years. He's got how many years till he gets to go over that land? He's got, all because his daddy messed up. See, we're living this nation today. The adults have messed up so bad. Now we're in what we're in today here. And everybody wants to blame government. They want to be... No, this is about spirituality. The reason that these things take place. The reason these things take place is because we're out of line of all these spiritual principles. We're out of the line. People today are taught rebellion in the church, you know. We're activists. We're no longer, you know, spiritual. We're activists. We got to get away from this junk. We got away from this stuff. Get back over the spirituality. Get ourselves over. We're trusting God. We need a miracle. He gave us one we didn't deserve. But hallelujah, we need miracles. We need demonstrations of the miraculous power of God. We need a shaking in this nation that people know there's a God. And we become complacent in the areas of our abilities to do things, of being nice and being whatever else. It's all based on our abilities. Now, I want something outside of Ed, because we sure need it. We need something greater. All we got to do is fall in line with what God told us to do. Is, you know, be the leader of what you're called to lead to. You know, it's like, you know, the respect in the family. If people fall in line of things, you know, with children, children need to, you know, they need leaders. They don't need a best friend.
That's right.
Amen. They don't need a best friend. They need leaders. I've watched the things of the best friend people and how the kids grow up. Mm-hmm. It's not good. It's not healthy. It isn't about best friends. You need a parent that sets up that knows to tell the kid to shut up, sit down, be quiet, do something.
Amen.
Quit rewarding if they don't. You know, let them learn to work, do a job.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Teach kids to do something, take care of themselves.
Amen.
We need those things. Leaders do that. People who aren't spiritual don't do it. See, they'll swear they're spiritual. Oh, yeah, we're good. We're good Christian people. We love our children. No, you don't. You hate them. If you don't treat them as if they're under you rather than they're over you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I remember Dr. Phil said, you know, the children should be number one in the family. I said, yeah, look how things have turned out, you know. Wow, thank you, Dr. Phil. I see that I've saw some things in the news. He surely changed. He saw a lot of his stuff go under the way he taught it. It didn't turn out that way at all. There's one thing about it. Preach something long enough and you'll find out the results of it. And lots of times people, this would happen. These little fads come along in the church and people get preaching this stuff. And then after a while they see the result of it. Well, let's go on to a new fad. That one there ain't no good. Let's find another one. The things I preach, they have worked for decades for me. And they're proven. And we need to take these things very serious. You know, we sit here, we may take these things and we know these things. But we're living in a world and among so-called good Christians that really don't follow these things. Don't follow these principles. That don't stop. Say, hey, this is one of the things that you've heard me talk about many times concerning, you know, this isn't about me and just me and Jesus. This is about me and other people. It's about me and my family. I'm going to follow God and walk right. I'm going to tell you, no one loves their family if they don't follow God and walk right.
Amen.
Now, I ain't talking about just being a Christian. Going to church. Following the Word.
Amen.
You follow the Word and do the Word.
Amen.
Whether your kids say, we just really like this. Say, no, we're going to follow truth. Truth is what will prevail.
Amen.
It'll prevail. When the Lord told me He was going to bring all my brothers and sisters in, it was because of things that I did in obeying Him. It wasn't because I was a Christian. It wasn't because I asked Him to do it. There's things that God wants to bless with, and until actions come in line and people walk and fulfill God's will, you will never see them happen, and you can confess them day and night for the rest of your life, and they won't come to pass because you've got to come into the line of the will of God. The things that God has spoken to me over the years and stuff that things that I didn't specifically even ask for, but just because He came along because of walking and following Him, and He would come along and tell me something that He wanted to do. But it was always good. We don't understand the thing about our performance of how we perform the Word. We believe what His Word says and we're going to do it. And many times of things that are not easy to do. There's one thing I didn't ever cared what other people thought about it. I'm going to walk in line with the Word. I don't care what people say about me. They can knock me all they want. Have at it. Go ahead. Go ahead. But I'm going to follow the word. See, I got to live by my conscience. I ain't gonna live by somebody else because my conscience makes other people nervous. Just get nervous. Don't worry, there's plenty of medication for you. They'll have some. One of the side effects, suicide, though. But just, I always get that. People with depression, and they give you medication, the side effects is suicide. I thought that's what they were taking medication, not to kill themselves. There's some wisdom there that I miss. I don't. It's like they had, what was it? Medication for psoriasis, and one of the side effects is stroke and heart attack. Boy, I'd rather itch. Yeah, then you have a heart attack, and you see, we need to study about heart attacks. Because number one, heart attacks, having a heart attack. Yeah, because you give medications that give people heart attacks. I wanted to quit itching, so they killed me. I ain't itching no more. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Aren't you glad Jesus is Lord?
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Now, you know, it's one thing is people, don't look at Israel and say, well, I can never do that. Well, I bet they never thought they'd do that either. But people do. But these are things to remind us. See, when we walk right, we take these things and we look, it just encourages us to maintain ourselves, to keep ourselves where we're walking right, talking right. Especially, setting your voice is one of the biggest things that you'll set your life with. I don't care what else you do. You can do all kinds of stuff. You can do all kinds of things. But your voice has a lot to do how your psychology of life is. Happy or sad is mostly not by what other people are doing. And I found out to be true, you know, because before I got saved, you know, my mentality was messed up big time, you know, drugging, drinking. I was not Mr. Positive at all. And you're telling you get over there. And I got saved, and I found out you can go through things in life that are hard. You can have peace and rest. You're not worried, and you're not wringing your hands. Well, what was that from? Well, I learned this over time. It's what I learned to believe and say. I would continually go back to the Word and look in the Word. I would believe what the Word said. I'd talk what the Word says. I wouldn't yield my mouth to things. And see, you have to get there. That's one of the things that I thought was really good back in the 80s. Remember, we had the confession police. We need that more today. So people to shut up, quit talking like that. You're not supposed to talk like that. Today, everybody gets so darn offended, you'd have one person in every church in America. Because the offended people.
Amen.
You can't tell them to shut up. They're killing themselves, but you ain't allowed to do that.
Right.
I was talking to the cardiologist and, you know, about people, and he said this. He said, yeah, he said you got to try to find a way out around talking around. Because you can't. He said, you can't tell people straight what's wrong with them. It gets them mad. They don't want to hear it. He said, you can't do that. He said, you try every time you kind of get a little something to try to get them over into an area. Why? Because we're such a hard-headed group in America here. We're just, you know, full of, I have my say and I have my rights. My God, you know, we say a Soviet Union's bad. They ain't no worse than we are.
That's right.
I'll tell you that for sure. You know, see how hard-headed Putin is. He must be an American. What do you think of that? I mean, you go to the doctor and people say they want well, but you can't tell them what to do to be well. No. No, I want to keep doing what I'm doing. Just give me a pill.
That's right.
To get by it.
Yeah.
I don't want to change, but I want the best. It ain't going to happen.
Amen.
You know, if I want better, I really, there's things I'm going to have to change more and more if I want to step into something better.
That's right.
I want to change. That's It isn't whether Ed likes it or it offends him.
Right.
Tough Ed. It is the way that it operates. That's the operation. It doesn't change. See, you may have accepted that, but your living world hasn't accepted it. But you know what? We have to preach him the truth whether they get offended or not. You just keep saying it and saying it and saying it, not to be ugly, to bring change to them. Say, this is what you have to do. You can't. Tomorrow you're going to wake up, it's going to be the same way unless you start to make a change. You're going to have to. See, I found it was about me. You know, a lot of people, they still don't know. They think, my life changed, I had a different family, I had a different place to work, I had this. No, every place you go, you're going, and if you're in a certain way, that goes with you. Because you're there. That goes along. It don't change that. Hallelujah. Praise God. So I just encourage, you know, you're around people, don't be bashful about your faith and about the way you think and what you talk. You might think about that. Don't go along with their conversations when they want to talk about, you know, they want to talk about the latest lumbago, whatever, or, you know, that we're not going there. Say, well, this is what I believe. See, I believe them well. I believe them well. This is what I believe. I believe God's right. I believe God did something to take care of my health. What about yours? You know? I found this out a long time ago. Doctors ain't gods. Yet we've expected that out of them. The Lord showed me many years ago is one of the problems we have with the medical field today is because of the demand of the people on them. The people's demand on them is to expect them to take care of everything for them. They wouldn't listen. If you can't believe God, you're going to have to do what's natural as best as you can. Did you hear that? You're going to have to do what's natural. So you're going to have to listen to whatever they tell you. Don't bother going to a doctor and you don't have the faith to do anything else, but then complain about what they tell you. Don't do that. Stay at home. You ask for their opinion, you got it. If you can't believe past it, that's your fault, not theirs. You know, I thank God for what they do. You know, Kenneth Hagin said it, and I found it to be true. Thank God the doctors have been able to keep a lot of Christians alive till they could get some faith. Amen. It's good preaching. Thank God for what they could do. They can't do everything.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Yes. Praise God. I don't want to just get by in life.
Amen.
Because one day it always comes where we run out of get by.
Amen.
It always happens. And so, you know, I don't want to leave this world because my body is so bad off, I have to leave it. I don't want to go like that.
That's right.
I want to one day depart and be with Christ, which is far better. That's what I want to do. I don't want to do that other one. I don't want to. I'm not knocking anybody about that, but I just tell you. But see, it's a decision that we make here on this side. I'm getting older. I'm not what I was when I was 25. But we need to understand. Caleb said he was as strong as he was when he was 40 years old. 45 years passed and he was as strong as he was when he was 40. He didn't say 25. He's not as strong as he was 40. Hallelujah. But there's one of the things I'm going to keep doing. I'm not going to get in a rocking chair.
That's right.
I'm going to keep
Amen.
Doing.
Amen.
But I'm not just, it's not something just natural you do. It's your faith.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
See, I have something working me. You can have everybody, every Christian has the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead in them. Every Christian does. But that doesn't mean he's working and keeping them alive. It's through my faith is what makes that work. The Holy Spirit is no more for many Christians than just a hitchhiker sitting on the inside. He's just in there and they're not responding to faith of him in them. You must do that. He's the mind of Christ. He's in me. I have to respond. You don't know God anybody. You know the guy on the inside, and you have faith toward him. See, I have faith toward him to revealing to me and that stuff. See, many people, God can do. He can do this. No, for Ed, he will.
Amen.
I don't care what God can do. That gets you nothing. It's what God will do is what gets you something. And it's what he will do that you believe he will do for you. It doesn't matter that God could turn the moon into cheese. If you can't believe for it, it'll stay a rock. It does not matter what you believe He can do. The only help you get is what you believe He will do for you. See, one person can get blessed on the both knowing the same promise, but one person takes it to themselves that God will do that. The other one, well, you know, God can do that. And they think it's real. Oh, this is a great meaningless. It don't matter what He can. It only matters what He will do for it. Mm-hmm. That's what matters. Amen. Hallelujah. That's right. So let's live in the light of that. Father, we just want to say thank You today. Lord God. Lord, I'm so glad You enlightened us. I'm so glad that the light showed. Father God, I thank You for the hunger that is in ones here today to know and hear the truth. Yes. I thank You, Lord God. Father, I thank You, Father God, that these messages that we can preach, Lord, You can't preach them everywhere. You can't see them to other people. Lord God, You wouldn't even speak them to other people. Lord, there's people, so many in the church world that don't even have the hunger to even eat meat today. Lord God, there's so many that, Lord God, I don't even know if they're on milk. Father, there's such weakness. And Lord God, I thank You. They're born again. They're children of God. And, you know, when they die, they go to heaven. And I appreciate that. I'm so glad of that. But Lord God, I just want to see more heaven in the earth and more heaven in people. More heaven in Your church. More of heaven. Heaven's life working in the believer. Hallelujah. Father, the church becomes the strength of the nation. The church rises up strong. Hallelujah. Lord God, the church is not moved by the wickedness of people, but rather by the power of God in them. Hallelujah. Lord God, I want to thank You. We can cast the devil out. Hallelujah. We don't bow to him. Hallelujah. Father God, we can turn the heads and hearts of men through our faith, Lord God. Hallelujah. Lord God, we can command angels. Hallelujah. And they obey us. Lord God, heaven's working through us, the great Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the living God inside of us. Hallelujah. The powerhouse of heaven. And we're connected together in hallelujah. Lord God, we're not in a parallel. We can hook together in a series of power that is so strong in the name of Jesus. That's the church. Hallelujah. Lord God, we're going to take our place. And I thank You for the people who have, the Christians who have in our nation and around the world. I thank You so much, Lord God. Hallelujah. For the calling out, Lord God, of these believers, Lord, have stood strong. And Father God, nations will be changed. Hearts of many and men's will be turned. Hallelujah. Father God, by the power of God working through the church of Jesus Christ. And we thank You for it, Father. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.